grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, the 6th chapter of St. Matthew, the 31st through the 34th verses. Jesus said, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Every year on this 15th Sunday after Trinity, we hear these words from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, which St. Matthew has recorded for our learning. And who can doubt that we need to hear these words over and over again? And who can doubt that we need to take them to heart over and over and over again? In today's gospel, no less than three times our Lord says, "Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious." Of course, you and I live in an age which has by some been called the age of anxiety. But to keep things in perspective, we need to keep in mind that anxiety has been the plight of fallen humanity from the very beginning. And so our fallen human race always needs to hear and take to heart the words of Jesus, "Do not be anxious." But the Lord Jesus doesn't just give a command, "Do not be anxious." He also addresses our all too real anxieties by painting a beautiful picture in words through which his never failing care and love shine through. He not only says, "Do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?'" He goes on to say, "Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things," as if to say you are not lonely orphans left to fend for yourselves. You are beloved children of your heavenly Father. And Jesus points to the beauty of creation and says, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Yes, we are of more value than they. For we know that the same God who so wonderfully made and wonderfully preserves this fragile creation also sent his Son. God the Son became fully human and himself lived in this fragile world where people need not only food and drink and clothing, but also trust and hope. The Son of God knows by experience what it means to be hungry and thirsty and indeed homeless. We remember how he said, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He knows what it is to be pressed down by all the cares and troubles of this fragile life in this fragile world. And because that is so, those wonderful words once spoken by the psalmist have become even more wonderful in the radiant light of the Son of God who became our fully human brother. The psalmist had prayed, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." Yes, this is a fragile world, and we are fragile human beings. But the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He is our Father, the Father who spared not his own Son, but gave him up for us all. He knows our deepest need, the need for that pardon of all our sin, the pardon that opens the gates of heaven. Remember how Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is your Father's good pleasure, his delight, his joy, to give you the kingdom. And what is that kingdom? His kingly rule of compassion and mercy, embodied in his Son, made flesh for our salvation and that of the whole world. The Lord Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well." He doesn't ask us to ignore the needs of this body and life. He doesn't ask us to ignore all that causes us anxiety. But he does teach us to seek first the kingdom, his kingly rule of compassion and mercy, embodied in his Son, made flesh for our salvation. And under that kingly rule of compassion and mercy, We are free to lay tomorrow with all its trouble, its work, its needs, into his truly loving hands, the hands which still bear those glorious scars, the marks of the nails and spear, the marks of his love as we sing. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and sigh. This is a fragile world, and we are fragile creatures. But this fragile world has a Savior. Each one of us has a Savior, who has in mind for us better things than we can even desire or pray for. For we are not permanent residents of this fragile world, but we are instead travelers passing through a strange land on our way home to that home that will be home indeed. But how easy it is to lose this consciousness of being pilgrims on the way. And so we need to take to heart those memorable words of St. Paul, who, in writing to the Christians in the city of Corinth, had this to say: so we do not lose heart, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, because we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.